Thank you, Tom. Well, brethren, we all realize that Christmas time is a time that the world sets apart to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. Although we realize the date is not correct, that it really would be closer to about October 1st, we can still join in with all those whose hearts are in the right condition of love and appreciation towards God for the great gift of His only begotten Son. In addition, however, we realize that it was about this time of the year that our Lord left the heavenly courts when His life principle was transferred to the womb of Mary. What a sacrifice for Him. He who was the Father's delight for the billions of years of creation left those ivory palaces, as it were, left His Father's presence to become born as a lowly babe in Bethlehem. This season has become a time of just joyful family gatherings, beautiful music, children laughing, excitement, as it were, a time of gift giving. And so we thought it would be well for us to consider today this principle of giving, which in reality is one of the very foundations of God's character. Notice going back to Leviticus 19:9-10, where God gave a law to Israel, and He said, "When you harvest your crops, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields. Do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners who live among you, for I, the Lord, am your God." He wanted to teach Israel the thought of giving, of sharing, of being generous, of being considerate of those who had little in this world's life. Notice as we reflect upon a few of the scriptures how it's God's desire for all of us to have more and more this spirit of giving, of sharing. Acts 20:35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Matthew 10:8. "Freely ye have received, freely give." Proverbs 11. "The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." Again in Proverbs, "The righteous man giveth and spareth not." Oh, there are many other scriptures. In all of them, we see how it's God's strong admonition to us that He would be pleased for each of us to live lives that are ever striving to be aware of others' needs and having a desire to help if we can. The spirit of giving has many forms. We can give a gift. We can give of our time, of our means. We can give encouragement. We can give a pleasant smile. We can give a shoulder, as it were, for someone to cry on. We can give our hearts, our prayers. We can send a card. We can give a phone call. We can send flowers. But for any of these forms of giving to take place, there must first be a conscious effort, a conscious thought on our part. We must ever be watching for ones in need and then choose to be an instrument, to be the means of bringing them a blessing. It's something that just doesn't happen by itself. It's something we must gradually develop. Because, you know, our fallen flesh by itself has a tendency to be thinking primarily of ourselves, of our own well-being, our own happiness, or maybe the lack thereof. It's really so easy, if not careful, for the flesh to want to dwell just on ourselves, our families, our material needs, our finances, our happiness, or it could be our loneliness, our lack of funds, our heavy work schedule, a lack of a nice home or car like others might have, out of our many aches and pains. And if not careful, again, it's our flesh, can become so engrossed in itself perhaps in a form of self-pity, that rarely does it want to think of others. And this is where our new creature has to step in and take control and grab a hold of our flesh, so to speak, and shake it and reprimand it to remind our flesh, though our lives may not be all sunshine, oh, they are filled with so many countless blessings. God wants us to dwell on the positive, not the negative, to think of our blessings, to think about the countless others who have far less than we, the countless others who are going through greater hardships, greater pains, greater sorrows than we, and then to become involved in helping and encouraging them. Having a concern for others, followed by the spirit of wanting to give, to share, to bless them, is a beautiful manifestation of the Christian spirit of love. But in addition, it will bring us a great blessing as well. It's so nice to get a gift, isn't it? Or a bit of encouragement. But to be the instrument of bringing that blessing to another is even far greater. In Psalm 50, we read how God is the owner of every single thing in this universe. For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon the thousand hills is mine. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. The entire world is mine and all that is in it. Since God is the owner and giver of all things, we realize that in reality we are only stewards or managers of His goods. God has placed each of us as a steward over everything in our possession. It's not our home. It's not our car. It's not our money. It would really be best rather not to think of these things as our possessions. They all belong to God. We're merely placed as stewards over them. And thus He expects us, as His stewards, to utilize what we need for our basic needs, and then as His stewards, to use the excess to be the means of blessing others. A beautiful example of this spirit is found in 2 Corinthians 8. The brethren in Jerusalem were evidently extremely poor and suffering great need. And notice how the brethren in Macedonia, who were told in poverty themselves, exercised their stewardship over what God had placed in their hands. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For if the willingness is there, the gift will be acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. Paul continues in the 9th chapter. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What a lesson. Just think of it. Though in poverty themselves, the brethren in Macedonia literally pleaded for the privilege of sharing what little they had to help those who were even far poorer in Jerusalem. Paul commended them richly, for it showed it was a test of the sincerity of their love. And so, as the occasion demands, oh, may we follow their example. When we hear of brethren who are in need, may we not rationalize feeling, oh, there'll be others that will take care of them. Each of us has a responsibility as members of the body. For just as in the natural body, so in the spiritual. When one part of our body has a need, we all have a need until that part is supplied through the giving of the others. God literally gives and blesses others through his children, through one another, yes, through each of us. Notice how James brings this same thought to our attention. What use is it, brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and is in need of food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. John brings us the same thought. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods, and he sees his brother in need, and he closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. If one finds themselves unmoved, as it were, we might say, of the temporal or spiritual needs of another, of our brethren, then it's somewhat of a danger sign. Somehow the love of God is not being manifested in the heart as it should be. God doesn't intend for us only to be concerned with ourselves or with stockpiling material goods where treasure upon earth, where moth and rust can destroy and thieves break in and steal. But rather God intends for, in reality, what are his possessions to flow out from us to others that have a need. Whether it be for his children or brethren or for letting the light of truth to shine throughout the earth to bless others of the wonderful knowledge we have of God's plan. I read a true story once about a little boy that just so beautifully illustrates the principle of giving that I'd like to share with you. This 5-year-old boy had a little sister who was suffering from a very rare disease. And her only chance of survival would appear to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, because he had the same disease and he was able to overcome it, and he built up antibodies that were able to combat it. And so the doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked if he'd be willing to give his blood to his sister. He hesitated, but only for just a brief moment, and then he took a deep breath and said, yes, I'll do it if it will save her. And as the transfusion was taking place, he laid in a bed next to his sister with a big smile. He saw the color returning to her cheeks, and she began to smile. But then all of a sudden, his face grew pale. His smile disappeared. He looked up at the doctor and he said with a trembling voice, will I start to die right away? You see, being young, he misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to have to give all his blood to his sister to save her. Will I start dying right away? A beautiful beautiful true story that illustrates the spirit of giving in but a 5-year-old little boy. The concept of giving of oneself to help others is really a divine principle. It's applicable to everyone in this room, whether the little children, the young people, adults, or seniors. Perhaps we can consider for a bit how we could be instrumental in teaching this principle to our little children as they are growing up. For you recall Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he shall go, and he will not depart from it. You know, at this time of year in particular, most children's minds dwell on one thing, getting gifts. Not so much in giving gifts. Because our society as a whole has developed an almost frenzied atmosphere to give children at Christmas as much as we possibly can. Many parents may think back to their childhood when perhaps it was a little harder and the economic conditions were such that they didn't get too much. Maybe they were happy just to get clothes, but oh, how they wish they could have gotten some toys and recreational things. And because of this, there may be a tendency to feel that we want to give to those dear children that we love so very much, far more than what we received. We want to show them how much we love them. And so oftentimes we give, and perhaps until it even hurts. We want them to be happy. We enjoy the blessings of giving whatever we can, as long as we can, through the teenage and college years until they finally leave the nest, as it were, and establish a home of their own. But as much as we enjoy giving gifts to our children, may we be careful and judicious as not to go overboard, as it were, to such a degree that it possibly could even be detrimental. Is that possible? Could we give so much that it could be detrimental? I think it can, from this standpoint. If a child comes to expect that they will always receive their every wish, whatever it is, it could easily give them an unrealistic outlook of what the reality of life actually will be. Speaking now as one who was raised in the Depression era, I can tell you we rarely, if ever, had a toy, and unless we made one ourselves, or perhaps purchased one with our money from the paper route we had. But I can honestly say this hardship was in no way detrimental, but rather I believe it actually had a positive effect. It taught us that if we desired certain things, we would have to work for them, and it helped us to appreciate the value of money. And thus, contrary to general belief, a measure of hardship can be beneficial. We should know it's certainly true of our new creature. While the opposite of being given our every wish is what could be detrimental. And so think carefully as to whether granting your children's every wish is what is really best for them. I'm going to get a reprimand from the children, but that's all right. What could be a help for children to develop the spirit of giving while they're still young? With this thought in mind, let me make a suggestion. Periodically, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, whatever, give them something that you want them to give to someone else, perhaps less fortunate than they. It could be anything, a quarter, a cookie, a piece of fruit, a coloring book, whatever. And then at the end of the day, you may want to have a discussion with them about who they gave it to and the reason why, expressing your approval for their desire to help others. Your encouragement in this way could very well set them on a path that will bring them blessings for the rest of their life, the spirit of giving. A touching example of the spirit of giving is in a television commercial, perhaps you've seen it, by the Hallmark Company. A little boy comes home with a card from his teacher. His mother notices the card and inquires of the boy as to what the card was for, and he says, "Oh, it's nothing." The mother opens the card, and it reads something like this: "Thank you for what you did. You didn't have to do it." It was signed by his teacher. And the mother inquired as to, "What did you do?" And he said, "Oh, I've been staying in at recess time with Johnny, who cannot go out to play because he cannot walk." It's a touching commercial. It brings out to us the lesson of how a little boy developed the spirit of giving to make someone else less fortunate happy. Another thing you may want to do is this Christmas give two gifts under the tree with the understanding that your child will only take one and he has to give the other one to someone else, less fortunate. Maybe just the thing he wanted when he finds it. Do it before he opens it or they open it. And they find they give their favorite toy they wanted to someone else. It may hurt a little. But notice how you will be setting them on the road of developing this heart quality of thinking of others and being one to help and bless them. It's a different type of joy than that of getting a gift. The joy that comes from living a life of caring for others. Encouraging the spirit of giving of oneself could also apply to our young people and to our young adults. Many of them I see up in the balcony. We're blessed to have many of you in our class. It lifts the spirit of us old-timers to be with you and see your love for the Lord. Perhaps we don't express it often enough, but we love you and it's a joy to have you with us. At this time of your life, I'm sure many of you are wondering what career you should go into. What we choose to do with our lives is really a very vital question. And we sympathize with you in trying to make decisions, because it's really a rough, hard decision to make at times. But try to remember, as important as making a living is, it really is only incidental to something that is far more important. And that is the developing of a heart disposition, a character, that will be yours not for just a few years of this life, but for all eternity. We realize that this brief life is really only a training ground, as it were, for the billions of years to follow. We pray that God will help you in choosing what will be good for you, but above all pleasing for Him, to Him. Whatever career you choose, do strive to have as an underlying principle of your life a spirit that cares about others, a spirit of giving of yourself to help others in need. As you do, I know you'll be richly blessed. Start now with the little things. You know, some of our society frown on what we term politeness. We pray it will never be so with you. Stand up for the principles you were taught. Show the proper spirit to others, because politeness is in reality a form of caring, of giving of yourself for the benefit of others. Hold the door open for others. Help in carrying someone's heavy package that you see them laboring with. Give up your seat on a bus for those who are elderly or handicapped. When going to the store, stop at your elderly neighbors and ask them, "Could you get something for them?" Help someone climbing up the stairs. Be a mentor 1 hour or more a week for those of your younger schoolmates having difficulty with math or reading or whatever. Give up one of your favorite things for the youngster who has next to nothing. When you see his face beam, you'll have a blessing inwardly that far surpasses that of getting. Be sensitive to the needs of your parents. Give of yourself, whether it be just with tasks around the house because both of your parents need to work, or whether it be to help financially with college expenses, or just general expenses when times are harder. They've given you so much. Think of ways that you can give. You can give to them. Surprise them by giving them of your time and talents and consideration of the financial circumstances of their lives. If you keep your eye ever open to look for opportunities of blessing, of giving to others, you'll find them all about you. And as you gradually develop more and more the habit of giving, you'll truly come to the realization that to give really is better than to receive. That he that waters others will be watered themselves. Oh, not from a standpoint of material gain, but from an inner satisfaction that comes from knowing you've done something that helps another and pleases your Creator. Thus far, we've been considering mostly the giving of temporal needs, but there are many forms of giving. In fact, we might be inclined to say that the very best and perhaps the most memorable forms of gifts of all are those intangible ones from the heart. They are the gifts that come from within ourselves, and they could be with all age groups. Gifts of time, love, kindness, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, smiles, the gift of listening, the gift of just giving your shoulder for someone to cry on. Let's consider a few of these other ways in which we can all give of ourselves. Someone becomes sick, perhaps they're in the hospital. We can send them a card, but maybe it's prolonged. Don't send just one, send several. Visit them when they come home from the hospital. Bring them a bowl of chicken soup or lasagna or whatever, just to tell them you love them. You care, you wish them God's blessing. When there's a long, prolonged illness, the caregivers are the ones that are most often worn out the most. How nice to offer them to be a caregiver for a day or more so they could have a bit of rest. Think of those who have no means of transportation. What a blessing to have someone to offer you to take you to the store, to the doctor, to the dentist, or what have you. You know, I've often thought it would be nice that if we had, the Ecclesia had a volunteer list of those who are available, at what time of the day and what day of the week, that they'd be willing to help in ways of transportation or other ways to help others who are shut in. Then those who had need could feel free to ask those who are available for help. You know, for the most part, Christmas is a happy occasion, especially when there are young children filled with laughter and excitement. But you know, for some, it's not so happy, especially when one is alone and lost their spouse and only memories linger of past blessings. Try to remember them in little ways, giving them a call on the phone, inviting them to dinner or home gatherings. And talk about past blessings that you shared with their loved one. Make them feel as truly being a part of our enlarged family of the Lord. Not only at Christmas time, but throughout the year. As we consider the subject of giving, remembering that gifts don't have to be large, big things. They could be little things. Because all of us are of different circumstances. We recall the story of the widow's mite. The lesson is not about how much one gives, the amount that's important. Those who were rich gave from their abundance, and it cost them next to nothing. She put in only a penny, which really was nothing. But from God's standpoint, it will never be forgotten, for it was all she had. So what matters most in the eyes of God is the heart's intent. If there's a burning desire, a caring to bless others, that's what counts most, not the amount. Another way of giving ourselves is in witnessing. You know, free tracts are available by however many tens of thousands you would like. And as Brother Bruno Hack used to say, tracting is sure better and cheaper than going to a health club. Something the brethren may not be aware of is that Dawn is making available 4 of the color booklets we print to be available free of charge for personal distribution. We'll have a large supply here shortly. But we'd encourage brethren to avail yourselves of these, and wherever you go, to profusely distribute them as far and as wide as possible. Send one with each Christmas card. Send one with each gas bill, electric bill, phone bill, insurance bill, what have you. Perhaps you'd want to get one of these take-one holders and pin it up on the grocery bulletin board where you shop and keep it filled with booklets. At Christmas time, you may be thinking of what kind of gift to give to your teacher or neighbor or relative not in the truth. What could be better than a gift of truth? The first volume, a set of volumes. Perhaps the photodrama of creation. You know, it was recently reprinted. It's got 3 pictures on the side, 1 on top, for each page of truth. Another avenue of witnessing is helping to provide the witness materials. If anyone would be interested to work at the press 1 or more days a week, feel free to volunteer. We have all types of work. We have some older sisters in our ecclesia that are in their 70s and 80s. They never worked on machines in their life, but they are thrilled and enjoy to work in the harvest field. Other types of work are more complex, for which we could use some additional help as well. Cutting, folding, binding, printing, video editing. But especially we would like to have someone who would be willing to learn to operate our 2-color printing press 1 day a week. And brethren, what benefits? Free training will be provided and the pay is absolutely fantastic. The initial weekly pay is really great. But the bonus to follow is absolutely out of this world. Seriously, we could really use a pressman, or I might say a press person. Every act of giving, whether large or small, we're assured is being taken account of in the courts of heaven and will have its compensating blessing. Jesus said that if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. The liberal soul shall be enriched, and he that refresheth shall himself be refreshed. Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Thus, every act of giving, whether large or small, God takes note of and will bless. We might digress here for a moment to consider the opposite aspect of giving, which is at times to be a gracious receiver. You know, for most of our lives, we find ourselves being somewhat self-sufficient, giving to our children, to our families, our brethren, and then almost suddenly you realize something is starting to change. Things used to be easier and are now becoming a little harder. Arthritis is taking its toll. Hearing is getting poorer. Eyesight begins to dim. Could it be I'm growing old? Others want to carry a package for me and help me out of the car. They want to buy groceries for me, and somehow it doesn't feel right. I shouldn't need help. I want to help others. I've always done that. Why are they doing this? I'm perfectly capable. Well, when this time comes for you, brethren, don't reject it. Don't deprive others of the great blessing they receive of expressing the spirit of giving to you. For indeed, if you refuse it, you'll actually be depriving them of one of life's richest blessings. So accept it graciously. Think of it as one of the blessed side effects of entering into the golden years, as it were, when you could be a blessing by merely being the recipient of others' bouquets of love. Though the scriptures are filled with many admonishments about having a spirit of giving, they also have one caution. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what our Lord is saying is that it's important to have the right motive in all that we do in our giving. If the motive is one that's somewhat tainted a little bit with a feeling of pride to kind of show others of how great we are because we're generous and we're giving and we want them to see it, then the Lord is telling us that it's of no value in the sight of God. Our Lord is suggesting that it might be well to avoid any tendency in this direction, to actually give of our gifts anonymously, that our left hand won't even know what our right hand's doing. That is, that no one is aware what you have done. The year 2003 is just ahead of us. How much of ourselves will we be willing to give in the new year? As we consider this year, this past year, and somewhat take inventory of our past spirit of giving, we need to ask ourselves, am I happy with it? Is God happy with it? Finally, brethren, we'd like to speak about the greatest gift of all that you can give. God's admonition to each of us is, my son, give me thine heart. Some of us in this room love the Lord, are living a righteous life, are teaching your children the principles of God's word, are even living a life of giving. The giving of yourself, your hearts, is one thing that is yet perhaps before you to consider. To give of yourself in full consecration to God. Perhaps you felt of late our Heavenly Father touching you, calling you, whispering to you, my son, my daughter. Why are you hesitating? You know what would please me. Give me thine heart. With the words of the Apostle Paul, as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, which is your reasonable service. May God help each of us to fulfill more the spirit of giving in this fullest sense.